Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Oh, I think anybody would say if you don't get the results consistently, it's a lot frustrating. So, you know, there are times I feel like I'm doing my job better than the box score dictates. So that's really what I chalk it up to is, I mean, can't really pinpoint one or two things. It's just a couple bad luck plays. Ball hits the bag, multiple starts. I mean, it's just, I haven't seen that ever. So there's a lot of things I haven't seen in this game and until this year, but I'm sure we'll see some more things. Hopefully it's in the good luck category of our team and hopefully I can get on this train as well.
This afternoon at Wrigley Field, 1:20 first pitch, Alec Mills, Carlos Hernandez, finale of the series between the Cubs and the Royals. We've got the broadcast right here on The Score. We're about 43 minutes away from Zach Zaidman's pregame show. But you just heard from Dallas Keuchel, who is one of the starters for the White Sox. And it has been, just a subpar season for him. And he's mentioned, and we have talked about already, the struggles against left-handers this season. And usually that's a thing that he does better against. But lefties are hitting .283 with a .336 OBP and a .451 slugging percentage. All of those numbers in the slash are better, or, well, you know, from the hitter's perspective, are higher than those numbers against right-handers. And usually you're going to get better results from him in that way. And yesterday, ball hits a base, inning should have been over, and it's just bad luck. But he didn't come back from that and get out of the inning. And there's a lot of frustration there. And that's one of the things I think that I'm probably the most concerned about with him, is that when frustration, like, you're not getting the results, right? You're having the bad luck on the field or just the bad performance in general. And then to compound the problem, you're frustrated with it. And when you're frustrated with it, you tend to do a little bit worse even. So if there's a concern for me with him, aside from the obvious, is that the problem continues to get worse over the next several weeks. But here's the good news if you're the White Sox. The good news is you got options. You have options. You have a good rotation otherwise. And if you really want to, you can go with Reynaldo Lopez if you feel like you have to have another starter. You can go with Lopez instead of Keuchel, but you're probably not going to have to make that decision because Dylan Cease is probably going to be that guy. And that is, if the season came to an end today, that's the likelihood of what would happen in the playoffs when they finally get there. So I'm not all that worried about Keuchel. I think they are in a good position because they have pitchers who can replace him. Now it's just a matter of staying healthy the rest of the way so they can make that decision at the end and still feel pretty confident about it. But you know, he's a guy who lives off getting the ground ball. And sometimes when he does that, and the defense, as we talked about the defense a couple of segments ago, has not been particularly strong this year when compared to the rest of the... It's average in the American League. It's average in baseball. But when compared to the playoff teams that we're looking at, it's near the bottom. So defensively, the Sox are going to have to get better, especially if they have a ground ball pitcher on the mound. If he does, in fact, end up in the playoff rotation, they're going to have to make the outs behind him because there's going to be contact. So they cannot afford to give away outs. They cannot afford to give the other team extra opportunities. Can't happen. Cannot happen. And all the discussion we've had about today, the record against good teams and how it's under 500 and we should be worried about that, that's not the thing that we should be worried about. Defense, Steve Stone brought this up earlier on the show, that's the kind of thing you need to be concerned with. If anything is going to hurt their chances in a short playoff series when every little moment matters, that's the kind of thing that will end up making a difference. And I've had a pretty good back and forth on the text line today, and you're welcome to visit the show via the text line. And by the way, we are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. But a good back and forth today in regard to that record that the White Sox have against the bad teams or the good teams, and they've made their money this year just beating up on the crappy teams. That's okay. It isn't predictive of what's going to happen in the playoffs. Nothing that has happened in a regular season is predictive of what's going to happen in a short series because there are too many variables, too many little things happen, too many bounces matter. Over the course of a long season, all of those things might play out and might matter. Over the course of a month or a week or a series, it's not gonna matter all that much. But the thing that could tank them could be defense, could be defensive issues, which is a thing they are absolutely going to have to get cleaned up before the playoffs start. 312-644-6767 if you want to visit with us. And a lot of texters, a lot of reaction from the Chris Bryant comments that he made about being with the Giants and being comfortable and liking that it's a put your head down and play organization, which seems to be a direct insult or a criticism of former teammates. And he used the word flashy. He said these guys aren't flashy, and he used that word twice, which indicates he thinks his old teammates were, and he didn't like that very much. And a lot of texters have pretty much, I think, filled the gaps the rest of us have filled, that he's talking about players like Baez and Contreras. I think that's unfortunate. I really wish he hadn't said those things about those guys. That's too bad. For me, that is way too bad. Texter from a 312 says, bad defense is part of the reason why they can't beat good teams. It's just not one thing. No. But again, I don't think it matters when the postseason starts. The sample is too small. Because a team has done something or a pitcher has done a particular thing does not mean that's what he's going to do in a regular season start. In a playoff start, all I have to do is point to Clayton Kershaw, who is notorious for dominating regular season, and then he has one lousy start in the postseason, and it tanks the Dodgers. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. That regular season, it isn't predictive. The sample is too small when the playoffs start. Sample's too small. If the championship, the World Series, were decided on what your record is against good teams over the course of 162, and you had to play 162 games against only good teams, then okay, you have an argument. But you don't have an argument when we're talking about a short series, a best of five, and then a best of seven, and then maybe another best of seven with days off built in between. It just, it's not the same environment. So scrap it all. Doesn't matter when we get there. This will be an interesting playoff. And I'm really interested in what's going to happen in the National League. Talked about that wild card race earlier. The Padres last night, they won their game on a walk-off wild pitch. That's one heck of a way to win a ball game. It's a horrible way to lose a ball game. But they won a game on a walk-off wild pitch. Ryan Spader, he's a good follow on Twitter if you haven't followed him already and you like baseball. He's really good with numbers, at the Ace of Spader. He's been a guest on The Score at least a few times. I know I've had him on in the past. But last night, he points out, was the ninth walk-off wild pitch of the season. Nine of them last night. It is the most since 1977. There were nine walk-off wild pitches in 1977. The Padres have one of them. The White Sox have, well, actually, no, the Padres have two of those this year. So they had last night. And then the White Sox have had one. They had theirs back in May, in the middle of May, May 16th. The Astros, the Cardinals, the Rockies, the Rays, Marlins, and Mariners. Nine walk-off wild pitches this year, which is kind of a lot if you think about it. And, well, you know, there the numbers are telling you. The last time there were nine in a season was 44 years ago. So it's been a very long time. And I wonder how much of it has to do with the, I know they're not using the spider tack anymore, but maybe in the earlier part of the regular season, there were a lot of pitchers that while they were getting a ton of spin on the baseball, that spin would a lot of times lead to wild pitches. It would lead to the ball not going exactly where you want it to go because there's too much spin on it. I don't know if there's any correlation there with all the wild pitch walk-offs earlier in the year, but maybe it's just something to keep in mind. But the Padres in winning that game last night, they have kept pace with the Reds. They have the exact same record of 68 and 57. So both of them right now are tied for the second wild card in the National League. Now, keep in mind, there is only going to be the two wild cards in each division or in each league this year. There aren't the expanded playoffs. They're not going to be the extra teams like there were last year. But right now, with the Padres and the Reds being tied, the Cardinals are behind them 4.5 games back with the Philadelphia Phillies at 5 back. This is going to be a really fascinating race. In particular, I'm focusing on the two teams that are tied right now, the Padres and the Reds. I just don't think the Cardinals are going to do it, and I don't know about the Phillies. I think if either of those two teams were going to come back and take over that second wild card, it would likely be Philadelphia. They have maybe the easiest schedule the remainder of the way. And if it's not that, well, they would be either the easiest or the second easiest schedule down the stretch here in the final month of the season. So maybe there's the opening, but five games is still kind of a lot when you're just over a month away from getting toward the end. But what if the Padres end up not making the playoffs? It's not like this would be totally unheard of. And they weren't the favorite. They weren't even the betting favorite going into the regular season. And even though the Dodgers had not led the division for, I don't know if they have led the division this year, maybe in the very first month of the season, San Francisco has led the division most of the way. The Dodgers were still the betting favorite to win that division for a long time. And they might actually be now still. I haven't gone back to look at the odds. the Dodgers might still be the betting favorite, game and a half back in the National League West. But the Padres to just barely be hanging on to a wild card spot at this point of the year, I know weird stuff happens in baseball. It happens all the time. I'm a little surprised by that. I really thought that team, as good as they have been, and they've been really good, I kind of thought they would be there and not the Giants. San Francisco has blown up all of this. In case you're not aware, the Giants have, right now, the best record in baseball. It's remarkable. It's crazy what they've done. I would have probably picked them to finish third in this division. And I never would have thought they would have won the division. And they still have an excellent chance to do it. But again, there's a lot of baseball left to go and the Dodgers aren't too far behind. But for San Francisco to be 12 games up in the division over San Diego is astounding to me. I really, truly did not see that coming. And good for them. I know this much. When the playoffs start, I'm not going to want to deal with any of those teams. I wouldn't want to deal with the Padres, obviously. The Dodgers, they're the Dodgers. But the Giants are going to be one of those tough outs. And I guess you could say that about any team in the postseason. But San Francisco in particular, I would want none of that mess. I do believe we're in for a really fascinating postseason. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. And one of the reasons it's going to be even more fun than usual is because of last year. And the fact it wasn't a full season. It was 60 games. It just didn't feel real. I know LA won. And they deserve to win. They've been one of the best teams in baseball for like 8 years. And that they earned it, but it just didn't feel right. It was a 60 game season and nobody was in the ballparks for most of the year until they got to the playoffs. So I don't expect that. Well, once this postseason does begin, I'm pretty confident that we're going to look back on it and go, that was awesome. I know you can never really know ahead of time how good a postseason is going to be. But just with all these factors, everything is, well, in terms of baseball and in terms of sports, back to normal-ish. I mean, we still do have the COVID protocols. There are still the guys going on the IL because of COVID. But there are people in the buildings. The product looks relatively normal. Certainly a lot more normal than it did last year. I am hoping we get through all of the playoffs without having to worry about any sort of like COVID delays or people on the COVID list at the worst possible time. So hopefully that doesn't happen, because if you're the Yankees, you don't want to be losing Anthony Rizzo for 2 weeks because he's on the COVID list. I mean, it probably won't happen now because he just had it, but you don't want that happening to anybody else. That would be unfortunate. But I do think this is going to be a fun postseason, and maybe more so than we've seen in a couple of years, just because the way everything went down last year was just so rotten. And it sucked that it had to be that way. And I think we're in for a really good one this year, and especially for everybody in Chicago. Well, at least the Sox fans, maybe not everybody. But there is a team that you're going to get to root for in the playoffs this year. Again, it's going to happen again, but this team is really good. Really good, and hopefully getting healthier by the day. We'll tell you what that means precisely when we come back on Hit and Run. I'm Chris Ranji, leading into the Cubs pregame show with Zach. That's coming up soon. You're listening to Hit and Run. I'm in for Spiegel on The Score.
I've not talked to him. And I'm, we want a great game. I'm being honest and telling you that,
right.
You know, why I made the move, and in the end, sending him that message was a mistake. So you can take it and run with it, and it's I'm being honest and accountable. If we'd have won the game, I'd have felt like I sent you the wrong message. So.
That's Tony La Russa talking about Craig Kimbrell pulling him from the game the other day, and Kimbrell didn't like it and was trying to work out of a jam that he had put himself into, and he was an out away from it, and I think La Russa felt bad about that, which I appreciate. I appreciate him kind of saying, look, I didn't want to send that message that we don't believe in you, and that won't happen again. So at any rate, I am not too worried about Craig Kimbrell or the White Sox bullpen as they get closer to the postseason. A couple of text messages coming in, and by the way, text the show. The Tech Zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And this text from a 779. Yeah, it's a shame Bryant spoke out against the disrespectful, classless actions of a bunch of petulant jackasses who embarrass themselves and the game. Anyone who likes that crap is a classless clown. Good for Chris. That's from Todd. Well, Todd, I appreciate opinions, even differing ones. I hate to inform you, your opinion is terribly wrong, and it is a bad opinion, and you should not share it with anybody ever again. There's nothing classless about having fun on a baseball field. It's a game. Sorry, Todd. Thank you for the text, but it was bad and wrong. Don't have those thoughts anymore. Try different ones. I like good thoughts. So if you wouldn't mind next time, only good thoughts and only good opinions. Thank you. Another texter. Good afternoon, Chris. I'm glad you made it back from the Field of Dreams game. You know what? Don't you do that to me. We are not talking about the Field of Dreams game anymore. Not talking about it. Yeah, so what? I left early. Big deal. Leave me alone. I didn't know all that was going to happen. They were winning 7-4. I didn't know all that ninth inning stuff was going to happen. Jerks. Benjamin in Elmhurst is a jerk for texting in that. Got to be kidding me. Field of Dreams game. I didn't know that was going to happen. That's what I get for trying to be a responsible individual. That's what I get. I was trying to be responsible, trying to get home at a reasonable hour so that I could prepare myself for work the next day. I didn't want to get into Chicago at 5 in the morning. I didn't want that. So I was thinking ahead. I'll leave in the sixth. I'll catch most of the game. I'll take in the sights. Sox are winning by 3. We're good to go. I didn't know all of that was going to happen. Dang it. Text from a 708. Obviously, you never played the game nor got drilled after acting like a jackass. Todd is 100% correct. Nope. Todd is not. He is 100% incorrect. And drilling somebody because you couldn't get them out makes you a bad player. And it makes you a huge baby. Oh, I couldn't get this guy out? Well, I better plunk somebody with the next pitch. Get him out next time. It's weak. If you can't get somebody out and your response is to drill somebody, that's on you, son. And it makes you weak. It makes you, as the people say, a snowflake. You're a snowflake. You can't get somebody out and you respond by hitting somebody with a pitch. Don't be a snowflake. Get them out next time. You don't like a bat flip? Get them out. Don't come at me with that crybaby crap because you can't get somebody out. Let's take a phone call before we say goodbye. Tom is in Schaumburg. Hello, Tom.
Hello. I'd like to discuss that the closer should be changed for the White Sox. I mean, interchange Kimbrell in the ninth and Hemrick's the setup man, because I feel that Hemrick's has blown more saves than Kimbrell. I'll listen for your answer.
Okay. I appreciate the phone call, Tom. Thanks for texting in, or calling in, sorry. All right, so I don't think they should make a change. I don't think there's a reason to make a change right now. It's not like the situation is so dire and Hendricks is constantly giving up the end of the game, and so they have to make a call. I don't think so. Until it becomes a problem, you don't create a problem. So I don't think there's an issue. Leave it as it is right now. The only way I would even consider something like that is if I thought that maybe Kimbrel is not embracing an eighth inning role and maybe just isn't quite as sharp in the eighth inning, because some guys need to have the ninth inning mentally to feel like they are dialed in. It just, look, it happens. It's weird. You would think that if you're a good pitcher, if you're a closer, you should be able to close an eighth inning too. You should be able to pitch in a seventh inning. And it doesn't always work that way. Some guys just, they have to have the ninth. They have to know it's the final three outs. They have to know that stuff in order to be fired up enough to get those three outs. It's weird, but I think it happens. So if the Sox felt like at some point maybe it just wasn't working with Kimbrel in the eighth inning, maybe you make that call, because maybe Hendricks would be just as good if he was in the eighth inning as he is in the ninth. But by and large, there's no real reason right now for them to make a change there, because everything is working out fine. There's no reason for that. I appreciate it, though. 312-644-6767. people have opinions on the throwing at hitter. It is never okay to throw at a hitter. It just isn't, because you can't get a dude out. You don't get to throw at somebody. Get them out. Get them out. Right? Just get them out. I don't know. To me, I cannot get down with that idea. I'm gonna throw a ball at your head because you hit a home run off me and you stared at it. So what? Grow up, you big baby. Get them out next time. And it's unfortunate that one of the more vocal pitching advocates or pitcher advocates for hitters is the Trevor Bauer alleged scumbag. But he's one of those dudes who said it this year. Hey, it goes both ways. If I can fist pump after I get a big strikeout, you're allowed to flip the bat if you hit a bomb off me. Celebrate it. Go ahead. Like, we have to be comfortable with it both ways. I'm glad that's becoming more of a prevailing thought. Again, it's unfortunate that alleged scumbag Trevor Bauer was the most vocal about it. But I think it's becoming more and more accepted, and the game is better. The game is better because of it. And I like it, and I'm okay with it, and I don't think that makes me or anybody else classless. I might be classless because I will sit outside with no underpants on. That's not true. That was a joke. I don't really do that. But it doesn't make you classless to like watching players celebrate big moments and celebrate doing fun stuff on the field. That doesn't make you classless. It's entertaining. This is the sooner you realize, and maybe you're an older fan and you're just not used to this kind of thing yet, the sooner you realize that this is a game, and while it's a job, it is also a game, and it's supposed to be fun. And the entire point of every professional sport is to entertain me and to entertain you and to put on a show. Baseball, football, basketball, they're all shows. Live shows, television shows, it's a show. And the sooner you realize that these guys are playing a game and trying to put on a show for you and for me, the sooner you realize all that stuff is perfectly fine. The bat flips and the pimping and the fist pumps and all of that stuff, it's great. It's just, it's part of the show. This is a show. Enjoy the show of baseball. Enjoy the show of Tim Anderson pimping a home run because it's awesome. And I love it. And I love that guy. And I love John in South Bend, who's with us on the score. Hello, John. Okay, John is not with us on the score. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I'm here.
John. There, hello, John. What's up?
Oh, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy.
All right. Yeah, I'm from South Bend, Indiana, home of the Fighting Irish.
Yes, sir.
And I agree with you as far as the pitching aspect. You don't have to hit a guy, just, you know, strike him out. I agree. My question for you is, here comes an airplane. Who has more talent and more bench, the White Sox, the Yankees, or the Dodgers? Because I think the White Sox are going to the World Series.
Okay, that's a very good question. I think all the benches on all the teams are pretty strong. And John, thank you for the phone call. I don't know. I need to go back and go through numbers of all the bench players, which is not something I have done. What I can tell you, though, is I think the Sox are pretty well set up with guys they can count on off the bench. There are weaker teams out there. And the bench will matter when they get to the World Series, as you mentioned, because if they get to the World Series, because they're going to have to play in a National League ballpark. But that's just not the kind of thing I'm all that worried about right now, because I think they'll be just as well set up. And maybe the Dodgers, they probably have a better bench in terms of the roster, but the Sox are in good shape too. And you really only have to worry about a best of seven series. You know, I would be more concerned maybe if you're playing the Dodgers every day for a month and you'd have to outlast them that way, but it isn't that way. It's a best of seven. So I am perfectly okay with that. I want to thank our guests, Steve Stone and Jared Willis. Want to thank our producer for the afternoon, Brandon Fryer, for doing a fantastic job for us. Baseball is coming up here on the score. It is the Cubs. It is the Royals. It is the finale of the series. The starting matchup for today, Alec Mills is pitching against Carlos Hernandez in the finale of the series at Wrigley Field. And hopefully the weather will cooperate and there will be no weather delays or lightning delays. And nobody will get struck by lightning and nobody will lose a no-hitter and Mike Matheny doesn't have to be upset. Don't let any of that happen. But do enjoy your Sunday. We will talk to you soon. I'm Chris Ranji. Matt Spiegel is back next week on Hit and Run on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!